Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to the NFL Fanatics Podcast. We're your hosts, B Money. Today we are joined by Raj Mawani from our SF 49ers on Instagram to talk about the 49ers offensive and defensive schemes, some other 49ers news. So welcome, first of all.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me. Bang, bang, Niner gang.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. I would like to start with the offensive side of the 49ers in their lethal play-action passing game. And what really sets this up is their inside runs and switching it to counter. When they go into that counter formation, they get the linebackers to bite. And then it allows them to go into the Yankee formation. And they're able to take the top off the defense and hit them down the middle.
Yeah, Kurt.
It's a very lethal attack that Jimmy G knows well. And he's got to be careful throwing it, though. Because if you look at the Steelers game this past season, Jimmy G, they used this formation for pretty much most of the game. I mean, in that game, the Steelers brought a blitz on 20 of the 32 plays for the 49ers. And 45% of the time, they went with play action. So they really used this formation a lot. And Jimmy G threw a very risky pass. So then they switched it up to slice, which is a two wide receiver stack alignment on the boundary side of the formation, which allows them to get a hook route underneath, which will peel off the safety and allow for a two-on-two matchup with Deebo Samuel and Marquise Goodwin last year. Obviously, they don't have Marquise this upcoming season, which is a big loss in their speed boundary. But it allows them to go two-on-two with the speed. And the corners in the leftover safety, they play back because they know that they're going to get attacked by speed there. So they'll usually take another guy to take the top off and have a guy curl underneath, 20 yards out, take a curl, and it just – there's nothing they can do on that two-on-two.
Yeah, I agree. The play action is their bread and butter, and it's all set up from that run game. Like you said, they go run inside, they run outside. It's all that zone blocking scheme. They got quick athletic linemen up front, and that helps them, push people around and stay quick on their feet, because if you're running a lot – you got to be able to stay up with your man and be able to hit those holes. You got guys like Raheem Mostert, Coleman, McKinnon now, if he's going to be healthy. And like you said, it sets up the play action. And Jimmy Garoppolo was the number one quarterback in play action pass yards. He had 1,670 yards in play action pass yards. So, I mean, he knows, like you said, he knows the system. He does well in it. Third and short, he's really good. They utilize that play action. And that's the key. And like you said, we – at Deebo, where they utilize him in that position where he'd kind of go off on the perimeter, but sometimes they throw him in the backfield. He kind of moved all around. And I know Marquise Goodwin was that speed threat, but injuries and stuff happened to him, a lot of personal issues. He didn't really get a chance to do much, so not going to miss that speed too much. They brought in Brandon Ayuk. I think he's going to be able to come in, be versatile, and kind of move around just like Deebo.
I agree, but the other thing I'd like to talk about on that play action is really what a player I believe is probably one of the best fullbacks in the league, mm-hmm. Kyle Juszczyk, as he's actually a great vertical threat because they'll do a fake zone. They'll do a fake zone run, and they're dropping the play action. And that linebacker really thinks that he's going to get punched just right in the throat by him. The fullback, but the fullback fakes out, takes the vertical route, and he just runs it perfectly. And Jimmy throws a good ball. Boom. There you go, you got 60 yards. I mean, throw that ball many times. He did it against the Steelers, and it works for him. And to have a fullback with that versatility, I mean, if you look at fullbacks, you barely ever do see a fullback run a vertical route. And it's just a special talent that Kyle Juszczyk has. And that's where I think that play call, it has to be one of the top in the league, if not the top. Just It's just outstanding how many different threats he has. And the defense just has to get ready for every single one. And when they start to understand one threat, the next comes
in. Yeah, no, you're right. Because Kyle Juszczyk, like you said, in our modern day, there's not a big use of fullback. But the way that Shanahan utilizes him, not only as a blocker, but he's more of an offensive weapon. He goes out, and for a fullback to go out there and run a wheel route and be able to fly down the field like he does, it's absolutely impressive. And Juszczyk doesn't get enough credit. He's a big part of that offense with his blocking and everything. But when they throw him down on the seam and you see this big boy running and he catches the ball 50 yards down the field, you're like, holy crap. And he's made some big-time plays here and there. Another guy that's huge, huge, huge for the block. Now, we haven't even talked about yet. He's probably one of the best players in the league. George Kittle, man. This guy is so good at blocking. He'll sit back, block, you know, do so much. He's like an extra lineman. They'll pull him back, and he's a big part of that team. And then –
he gets a lot of yards with the Yankee concept.
Yeah, there. Oh, yeah, 100%. Those two guys. And then the crazy part is once he's blocking, all of a sudden he'll, like, drop back, fake like he's blocking, and then he'll run, like, a little route, little out route, and then he'll go up, and then he gets a big, you know, catch. And then the thing with Kittle is it's so hard to take him down after the catch. He's so physical. And that's the other part is Shanahan has such good physical players on their team. You know, like Debo, he's a great blocker. Kendrick Bourne, great blocker. Kittle, great blocker. So – that's what they incorporate, and it's all part of that run game to set up play action. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and it's a lethal attack, and to be able to have so many running backs that are just versatile and good at their own things, and to be able to switch up from the outside and inside zone runs to a counter, it's a special talent that team has, and that's why I believe that they're going to be great next year, and they were great last year.
Yeah.
And I a common theme in Shanahan's offense is when the running backs have the ball, they have so many opportunities to make catches and get yards after the catch.
Yeah, they kind of run like a West Coast.
It's like a modified West Coast with more of a running heavy run based, yeah.
Like,
yeah, like that's a good, that's a good word for a hybrid, yeah.
And, I mean, you know, they have a guy like George Kittle who, like you said, he's one of not only the best blocking tight ends in the NFL, he's one of the best receiving tight ends in the NFL, too. Yeah. He's such a versatile threat. And, like you said, he could be blocking and or fake a block and go out for a route, and he could be gone because not only is he strong and fast, but he's tough to bring down.
Yeah.
And, you know, once he gets that ball, he's like a bowling ball.
Oh, man.
He's going to go straight through the defenders.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you where Jimmy G threw most of his interceptions, and it's something he has to work on in this offseason, is in the Yankee concept when they go on that deep post or fly route. Usually on the post, you'll against the Steelers, they made a lucky catch. It should have been intercepted. Joe Hayden started to understand it. He dropped back in the coverage, and the safety pulled forward, and he just didn't see the cornerback. Joe Hayden made an amazing play, and he's just got to be more aware of that, and that's where all those picks came in. I think that's the main thing that he has to focus on in this offseason is that Yankee concept, just understanding where the
I agree. I remember that play because I was at the game, and I was just like, oh, crap, you got to be a little bit more careful. But the thing with Jimmy is he's a risk taker. Like he's gonna sling it. He's kind of like a Brett Favre, you know, where they just sling it. They're going to make mistakes, but they're going to come right back and just keep slinging it at you. And that's the thing I like about Jimmy. He's not afraid to take risks, but sometimes you take risks, you're going to make a bad mistake. So he does have to kind of look where the cornerbacks are a little bit more. You know, again, 1 year as a starter, he's going to learn how to read the defenses a little bit better. He definitely needs to improve on that. And then last year, early in the season, I don't have the stat off the top of my head. I can go look it up. But a lot of his interceptions came off of drop passes or – you know, mishandled passes from the receivers. So, I mean, that's something that they have to improve on, too, to help him out. And after that Seattle game, I remember that Seattle game was rough. They had so many drop passes, the first Seattle game, and a lot of drop passes. After that, they were so much more improved, and you could tell they were more disciplined, and he cut down on his interception rate. So that's something that's going to improve, too.
And like you said, you know, he likes to take the risk, and he's not afraid to sling it and make a mistake. And one of the biggest things is, like you said, if he makes mistakes, he's not afraid to sling it again.
Yeah.
Some defenses think, oh, this guy, the quarterback made a mistake. He's not going to try that again. So they might back off a little bit. And then he slings it again, and bam, there you go, a big
play. Yeah, they're like, wow, I can't. You
know, I think it's dangerous.
Yeah, it is. It's like you say, it's a risk you have to take. It's either it's going to pay off or it's not. And that was a great point that you made with the cornerback. They're going to say, oh, he's not going to do it again. And then, boom, they go right back at the play. And the cornerback's like, holy crap, he did it again, you know. So it's one of those things where it can pay off, but it can also be very bad for your team. And you're like, shit, man, I can't believe he did that, you know.
And they get a lot of those deep balls off because, you know, they work the inside zone and stuff. And, you know, one play against the Steelers in particular, Deebo Samuel ran a little bubble screen. And the cornerbacks, the safeties, they bit so hard. The overgrowth just killed them. And the deep ball right off the top to Marquise Goodwin. They really have a way.
That's it. It's all scheme. It's all, you know, sleight of hand. It's kind of like Kyle Shanahan is like a wizard. I've said this before. He's kind of like a wizard or a magician where you think he's going to be doing something and he disguises it. And he disguises it so well. You think he's literally going to run right. And then all of a sudden everything rolls to the left and your defense is like, oh God, we're not even going to be able to prepare to stop this. And then boom. Yeah. Right over the top, down the middle, wide open play, you know? So it's all in how you set it. And he sets it up throughout the game. Like, sometimes you're like, okay, nothing's happening. They're running. And then, boom, like, out of nowhere, you're like, wow, I can't believe that just happened.
He's got great chemistry with Jimmy G.
What was that?
They got good chemistry,
and he's just got to continue to get better. I mean, he wasn't the best, obviously. He made a lot of mistakes, but he's still learning. And he did well for his first year as a starter, you know, coming off ACL tear. Oh. But he gets a lot of disrespect out there. He gets a lot of disrespect, man. And I feel a lot of it, going back to that Super Bowl, you know, that big deep pass to Emmanuel Sanders, if he would have hit that, we're not even having conversations of he's not a good quarterback, you know what I mean? But he gets a lot of disrespect out there.
Yeah, I don't understand how people can make the conclusion that he's not a good quarterback. Like, coming off ACL, going straight into playing in the Super Bowl. Like,
there's not very many quarterbacks that can do what he can do. Especially after like an injury like he had, it's very impressive how far he was able to take his.
Yeah, bottom.
You know, this guy's still young. He's 28 years old. He's got a long career ahead.
He really does. And not only that, the bottom line is he wins games. Whether you like him or not, whether you like his stats or not, like he helps the team win. Like when he's in the game, since he's been on the Niners, they're like 22-4 over 22-5, I think. With Jimmy Garoppolo as a starting quarterback. Without him, Kyle Shanahan's been a very unsuccessful coach. So,
thank you.
I feel like Kyle Shanahan kind of reminds me of Bill Belichick. He always has a trick up his sleeve, and he's definitely one of my top three coaches in the NFL because he understands his quarterback. And he makes plays for his quarterback. He's got his offensive schemes, and he's got tons of them. He's fixed the defense from a bottom 25 defense to a top
Five. They've done a good job. He's helped turn that team around. You got to also give credit to their other position coaches, Robert Saleh, the GM, John Lynch. But they took over a team that had no talent when they took over in 2017. Literally, we had Lewis Murphy as a wide receiver. Like, some of the names on that team, you're like, who are these guys? And they came in, drafted some great players, you know, some late-round players. You got a Fred Warner. You got a George Kittle. Yeah, they didn't hit on every draft pick, but they brought in some really good talent, Emmanuel Mosley, and they've built a great team. And over the last couple of years, like you said, they've really done a good job of putting together a team that has, you know, become one of the top teams in the NFC.
My only question with their offense going into next season is depth at the wide receiver
position. That's a big battle. Big battle.
That hurts. But I think Jimmy G will be able to handle it. I really do. I mean, he's only going to get better.
I agree. The thing with the wide receiver, so you got Deebo Samuel, who in his second season. He's only going to get better. This guy is on the track to be a star in the league, right? He's versatile. He could run. He could catch. He could do it all. He's training hard. Debo's going to be a bona fide star in this offense. You got Kittle.
I think he's going to be the next
I don't know about Tyreek because he doesn't have the speed, but I think he could be the next, I don't know, maybe he could be the next Debo Samuel. That's what he's going to be.
He's not as fast as Tyreek.
He's got like in-game speed, and he runs kind of like a running back. I do love his speed. It's underrated, but he does so much in the game for this team, and it's, you know, like especially the blocking. And you got the new guy, Brandon Ayuk. He can be something good once he gets the offense down. You got Kendrick Bourne, who's really been working so hard this offseason for a bigger role. You got Trent Taylor, though, coming off an injury. Is he going to be healthy enough? Is he going to make an impact? He was on his way to being really solid last year. He was one of the best guys in training camp. Jalen Hurd, he missed his rookie season because of the back injury. He's got so much potential. Can he be something? You know, and then Richie James. I like Richie James. It's going to be a deep battle, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a good battle for the wide receiver starting positions. And I think it's going to be tough.
Yeah,
tough.
And then you got Dante Pettis.
Battle of a bunch of young guys.
You got Dante Pettis. He had a bad second year, you know, sophomore slump, a lot of mental issues, a lot of injuries. Can he step back up? Can he mentally focus? That's going to be he's in the doghouse right now. But if he can put it together, it's not like he doesn't have the talent. He has it. But is he going to be able to put it all together? That's the key with him. So definitely a interesting battle.
Yeah. I feel like the team will definitely help him. No. Like, the team, there's so many moves that they've just made right in the past few years, just waiting, just getting the guys they need. And now look how it's come out. And they're just going to keep rising. Like, the talent, and they're just going to keep helping all their players get better. And I see a bright future for their whole team.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I agree. And I say we move to one of the more surprising aspects of the team last year. The super, super skilled defense that they have and how they showed up. From being one of the worst.
Yeah, they improved. They stacked the defensive line over the last couple of years. They finally paid off. They got Nick Bosa. That was the key. They brought in Dee Ford in the offseason. He paid off until he got hurt. Quan, he was big. But you got to remember the big rise of Dre Greenlaw was huge. And then Fred Warner, he really emerged as a big-time player for this team. He's going to become an all-pro, I'm guessing, you know, the way he looked last season when the best in coverage. Then you had the secondary, Richard Sherman, Emmanuel Mosley stepped up, Jimmy Ward, you know, Jaquaski Tart. They really played good, but the heart of it was that D line, you know, up front. That was the key.
Oh yeah, and I think that lineman coach did a good job of coming.
Yeah,
up with the
Chris
Kasurek,
he had everything rolling, man.
I mean, he's got the. It really, I think that's what helped Nick Bosa is that formation, putting him in the right position to get a nice angle on a one-on-one
He was just jamming in on those tackles, and he can use his speed and power and leverage, and he was just always in the backfield. Of course, he didn't. Beginning of the season, he was getting back there. He had a lot of pressures. He wasn't getting the sacks, but towards the end of the year, he was finally figuring out how to close it out, and that kid's only going to get better. Defensive Rookie of the Year, I mean, this guy looks like a monster. He's going to be so good coming up,
I mean, they've been using the wide nine formation, and I feel like he's starting to really get a good understanding on it. He's starting to actually be able to break off on that end and really dominate that tackle and get straight to the quarterback.
Yeah, you're right, and it's all that angle. That was a good call. Like, the way he kind of chips over on that angle, it's impressive. And then he was doing so good towards the end of the season. These guys had to hold him and press him and double team him, and he was a rookie. So, I mean, he's going to get so much better. It's crazy to think.
And I really think that their linebacker corps is one of the best. The only weakness they have is at the Sam position. You know, they have a couple guys up there who could perform well, but it's still a question with Malcolm Smith, Elijah Lee, and Greenlaw. But, I mean, they have Fred Warner at the mic and Kwon Alexander at the will. And those two are just – they're above average.
Yeah, they're good. And the Dre Greenlaw, man, he was one of the top rookies last season, and he's only going to get better. This guy was the Seahawk killer. Without him, they wouldn't have got the first seed, you know, that last goal line stand at the end of the game. He was one of the top tacklers since week 10 through the rest of the season. Yeah, Dre Greenlaw is going to definitely be a big time. He'll take a big leap this year, so don't sleep on that guy. One of the biggest losses, though, I feel, that we had was the loss of DeForest Buckner. We couldn't pay Armstead and Buckner, you know, $21 million. It was out of our range, but we got number 13 pick. We got Javon Kinlaw. Excited for that guy.
And I love that trade-off, you know. Getting rid of a guy who's costing you so much cap space for a guy who performs maybe not as well, but he's a young star who's going to be on the rise. And I think it's the trade-off that they really needed at that position to help them. Because they can't afford all these guys.
$21 million, yeah. It was the right move from a business standpoint. Like, from a fan standpoint, it's demoralizing. It's crushing. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to do what you got to do. You know what I mean? So, it was tough. But business, you're right. If you got to pay a guy $21 million, you're not going to get Armstead back. You're not going to get Jimmy Ward back. You can't extend George Kittle. You don't get that 13th pick. And then a lot of people said, oh, they should have got rid of Armstead. Armstead doesn't give you the number 13 pick. He gives you maybe a second rounder at best. So they did what was right.
And I mean, you know, Armstead, he may give you a second rounder at best, but he's still, I feel like he's a little bit underrated. I mean, honestly, he's shown production, maybe not as much as some of the other guys, but he has really started to show production. I think he could be a special talent in the next few years.
Yeah, oh yeah, 100%. He's got so much potential, man, and that's what people don't realize. That's why they kept him. It wasn't that they kept him over Defoe, but they realized he's still got so much left to go. He's only hitting his prime. Guy's still, you know, is he 28 years old? He's going to only get better. He's in the prime of his career, and now he can be like that leader of that defense, and I think that's going to be something that he's going to really use to his advantage.
Right, exactly. That's cool. He's got
defense. D-Ford, though, that guy has to stay healthy, man. That guy was a big-time player. When he was in, he made it so much easier.
When he's healthy, he is.
I know, but that's a big win. We got to make sure he's healthy all season, because it doesn't matter if you're so good but you're not on the field. You know, that's a tough one. I love D-Ford. I think he's a great player. When he was in, he was a big X factor for Bosa. But the thing is, he wasn't in so much. So we have to hope he's healthy for the team.
And I like D-Ford to take
exactly. That's what he did. Like, when he was in, they couldn't double team him, because if you double team Bosa, D-Ford's gonna come right off the edge, and it's bad news for you. So it's nasty, man. How they have two Leos coming off the edge. I mean, that's the perfect world.
And then you got a veteran Richard Sherman at corner. That defense is good.
You know, but they're in a win now. They got to put it together and get back to the Super Bowl. It's not going to be easy, you know. Richard Sherman's not going to be playing forever.
You know, I feel like that veteran.
Richard Sherman, some people actually think that this may be his last year.
Yeah.
I think he's got a couple more years in him. But if they, you know, they're starting to get a few young guys. If they can get somebody that's young to learn under Richard Sherman, I mean, that'd be massive. Sherman's one of the greatest corners ever, in my opinion. And I think that, you know, if somebody can just sit under him for a few years and learn under him, it would be massive for their career.
Yeah, I agree. And, I'm one of the people that kind of think that Sherman may be on his last year. Who knows? Or he said in the past that he wouldn't be opposed to switching to safety if he wants to continue to play. So there are some options there. You never know. But I do think that Emmanuel Mosley is the guy that's going to really step up, take that torch, and you know, become a big time player for this team, especially for the future. Richard Sherman, I think that he will train him, you know, really get him under his wing. And if he does retire, I can see them do something like they did with Joe Staley, and then they replace him with Trent Williams, kind of thing. I think if Sherman is to leave, they would make sure that they take a big time. They'd get a big time corner somehow, some way.
Yeah, because he really is that cornerstone of that second.
Yeah, he really is. He's the leader out there, and he's more than just a player. He's like an extra coach on the field. The way he mentors people, tells people where to line up, and does a lot. He's like a coach out there.
Yeah, and the 49ers season last year was, you know, it didn't surprise me. I saw that coming with the progression that Jimmy G had going for him. And they're really a force next year that not many teams are going to want to go up against. And you can't hate on them for losing to the Chiefs. I mean, look how good the Chiefs were last year. Patrick, he's a once-in-a-generation talent. I mean, you got a young quarterback this is his first full season starting. And, I mean, it's just – you got to give him time. And going up against a great Chiefs team whose defense, by the way, just showed up in the playoffs. It was a force that was very hard to beat. And I think that San Francisco is only going to get better. And you're going to keep seeing them in late rounds of the playoffs.
I agree. Good team, good young team. They have good coaching staff, like we said, front office. They've made good decisions, and they draft well. That's the key. They know how to get talent that they can build and mold into contributing players for this team. So even if they lose players, they're going to have guys that can step in and fill those roles. So going to be a good team, yeah.
And obviously they have some competition there in their division with the Hawks.
NFC West is tough, and don't sleep on the Cardinals, man. The Cardinals, I think, are going to be much improved. They got it on paper. They got a great team. They got DeAndre Hopkins. That was a heck of a move this offseason. They drafted Isaiah Simmons. They've improved on both sides of the ball. You know, Kyler Murray, year two, he can take a big leap. They got Kenyon Drake. They got a good team. So I'm a little worried about the Cardinals. I'm not going to lie. They're going to be tough. And they played us so tough last year.
Yeah. I am a little bit skeptical about the Cardinals. And I'll tell you, I mean, I know that they have the chance to be a great team, but so
true.
What happened there, you know? They're not for sure going to be a great team, but they definitely have the chance. And I think that the problem with the Browns was just, you know, they had too many stars.
Yeah, you know, when you got that many people, you got to be able to kind of manage it. And I don't think the coaching staff was good enough to keep everybody's, you know, heads controlled. And Baker Mayfield didn't really take the leap that everybody expected him to.
I mean, people had him.
No, that was crazy, man.
At the beginning of the season, they're making tons of improvements, but a team's not gonna go from terrible to Super Bowl. That just doesn't. Rebuilding doesn't happen in 1 year. It's a course of 2 to 3.
Yeah, you're right. And the Browns have never, been a good team for a long time.
That's the problem I had with the Browns. It just doesn't happen in 1 year. Rebuilding's not a 1 year process.
I agree with that. I think that the Browns were – I felt the same. That last year, the Browns were being overly hyped. They were just, like, getting so much hype, and I was like, I don't know, man. This doesn't seem right. I remember saying that, too, going, I don't think the Browns – I said it, too. I don't remember when I said it, but I have it somewhere. I said that the Browns are not going to make the playoffs, and people thought I was crazy. And then look what happened. Because I remember when we played them on Monday night, I even said, I was like, yeah, Browns are overrated. We're going to crush them. And the Niners came out and just demoralized them that night. First play of the game, Matt Breida breaks it for an 83-yard touchdown. After that, it was – they didn't even know what to do.
Yeah, like you said, at the beginning of the year, I said the same thing. I said Browns aren't going to do anything.
No, I said that best in 2019.
I said maybe – but this year, like, chemistry might be off. And
I agree. I agree. I think the difference, though, with the Cardinals, for some, I just feel they have a different vibe to them because their coaching, to me, their coaching staff seems a little better than the Browns' coaching staff was last year. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I see the Falcons and the or Cardinals and the Dolphins, both rebuild teams, and I like what the Dolphins have done.
Yeah, I just don't see the Cardinals or the Dolphins make just like automatically being great next year. I think it's gonna take a couple years, but I do see the potential there. I know, especially I feel like the Cardinals will get there faster, but Dolphins have just
Dolphins. You know, they had a good offseason. I gotta agree with that. I like that. That's a bold move. Dolphins really improved. They traded everybody last season basically for draft picks, and they just had a heck of a draft. So I think that they've got talent. I think they have potential. I agree with you. I think maybe in 2 to 3 years, the Dolphins will be a very solid team. But I think they'll be fun to watch this season. I really do. Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to try. They're going to have to try to keep up with the Bills and the Jets. But I really just don't see the Jets taking that on.
Yeah.
That next step.
I don't either.
I don't.
I don't trust Sam Darnold. I just don't have much on him.
Either. And Le'Veon Bell's getting old. I mean, I don't have much on Sam Darnold. Le'Veon Bell's getting old. Yes, they had a pretty well-rounded defense, but with C.J. Mosley, but two of those guys are on like such expensive contracts. They're not going to be able to keep up with that. This team's just not in the right area for rebuilding. They're not going for the young, cheap talent. They're going for too many stars, and it's not how, you know, Le'Veon Bell, C.J. Mosley. It's just I just don't. I mean, yes, they're great pickups, but the cap space that they're hurting, I think they have to go for more young talent that has more potential in rebuilding, and that's the big thing. And they have to rebuild around a quarterback, and I just don't think Sam Darnold's that quarterback.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Sam Darnold, this is a make or break for a lot of players in the league, and I think this is a make or break year for Sam Darnold. You know, can he take that next step? He missed a lot of last season early in the beginning because of his illness. He had mono, and then when he came back, he just wasn't getting his stride with players. They didn't have a lot of good O linemen for him. They didn't have a lot of weapons. I think he has talent, but I just don't feel that he's going to take that leap. I hope he proves me wrong, but I really think that Buffalo is the team in that AFC East. They're going to run away with it. They got great defense. They got great offense. Josh Allen's going to take a big jump, and I just don't see anybody challenging him in that division.
If I look at the quarterbacks that I see are on the make or break, I would have to go with Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. We'll see how Josh Rosen performs in training camp. If he's ever got any potential left in him. You know, there's a couple quarterbacks that, you know, you want them to perform well. They have the potential, but we just need to see it here. Like, we've given you the time. Yeah. Let's see it perform.
Disappointing drafts for quarterbacks for Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, and Josh Rosen. All three quarterbacks aren't showing up yet. And that's not a good sign at all.
So I would like to talk about who do you guys believe is the upcoming MVP? I have to go with – I'm going to say this because I believe it. I believe Lamar Jackson is going to perform very well next year, but he's going to be a slight decline. I don't think he's MVP. I think it's between Pat Mahomes, and I think Pat Mahomes is going to be the runner-up to
Deshaun Watson. Wow. Okay, that's a bold one. I like it.
I he's got so much potential. His talent is insane. Yes, the loss of DeAndre Hopkins very, very badly hurts them, but I don't see Lamar Jackson winning the MVP next year. I think Jimmy G will be up there, but I just don't think he's that. He's not really that show off quarterback.
Yeah, he's not going to put up. He's not going to put up the stats because they run the ball. Honestly, I don't know about Deshaun because I think D Hop was a big loss for him. But if he can take that team win that division and take them to the playoffs, you got to give Watson some credit. So I don't know. I don't see that. I'm not thinking that Lamar Jackson, I think he'll do okay. But I think, honestly, it's going to be Patrick Mahomes who's going to win MVP next season. Coming off with...
I'm going Pat or Deshaun. But the one thing I love about Deshaun is just to be able to, like, for example, the Bills had a great defense last year. And you got two rushers on you, and you're going to break both those tackles. Yes, you can blame that on the defense, and it is partially the defense's fault. But, I mean, a quarterback to be able to do that, that's just – it's really, really
crazy,
unbelievable. And I remember one play. I believe it was against the Raiders. He got poked in the eye, and he threw the touchdown pass about 15 yards.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was crazy, dude. I mean, not a lot of people can do that. Like you said, it's just crazy talent. You don't see that around too many times. The guy's good, man. You got to give him your credit. I respect a lot of these players. You know who another guy I would kind of put in there? You can't count this guy out. And I hate to say it because I'm not a fan. Russell Wilson, man. I got so much respect for Russell, man. This guy, hell of a quarterback. This guy is the Seahawks. Without him, they don't win games. And I think he's going to keep that team in contention all year. And he has a chance to be MVP again if he can get this team in the NFC West. If he can get that team back to the playoffs, man, you got to give him some credit, some consideration.
And if I'm looking at MVP for next seasons in advance, I'm sorry to all these other players, but I'm just seeing quarterback MVP like in the upcoming season over and over again. I just don't think the other positions are important enough.
It's hard, man. I mean, there are players that out there that deserve it, but – yeah, that's the guy right there. I mean, there's quarterbacks, though. That's the leader of the team. And without a strong quarterback, you know, you don't typically win your games. I feel like Christian McCaffrey's a guy that could be in the mix. Saquon Barkley is a guy that he can definitely lead a team. You know, because Danny Dimes, he's young. He's going to have to lean on Barkley and then, you know, utilize him to improve the offense.
Yeah, but I think that the important – I just don't think that they'll be able to beat out the importance
yeah.
of the
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. That's a true statement.
Don't get me wrong. They'll be on the leaderboards. I just don't
yeah, it's just so hard for a young player to carry a team so far, and so it's not going to show up for him.
Yeah, and they're going to attack Saquon. Every team's going to be attacking
100%, Saquon. Dude.
And it's going to be a lot of pressure on Danny to take some pressure off of Saquon. And I think Danny's a young quarterback.
I think Danny Dimes is going to be on the rise. Dude, I really do, honestly. I think he's going to be one of the better young quarterbacks. They got a good system. They got a good set of weapons for him. You know, they got good receivers out there. They got Saquon Barkley who'll be healthy. I think he's going to take a jump, and I think that he'll be a top 10 to 15 quarterback next season. I really do. Yeah.
I agree.
You know, if you had to talk about I believe that there's one guy other than a quarterback that has a pretty good chance at getting the MVP next year.
Yeah.
And I think it's Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
He is outstanding.
Thomas is good. I got another guy for you, George Kittle, man. He does a lot for this team like we talked about. I think Kittle has the potential to be an MVP-type player because, again, we know what he does in the passing game. We know what he does in the blocking game. He does a lot, man. And I think if he can have another big season like he did 2 years ago where he set the record for receiving yards by a tight end, if he can have another season like that and increase his touchdowns to like 10 to 12, I think he could be an MVP. You can make a case for him because he is so important to the Niners offense.
Yeah. And with the loss of Sanders, 100%. He's going to have to step up a little bit. And that's the other thing why I would – decrease the chances of Michael Thomas. Yes, he's a great wide receiver, but he's also adding another great elusive wide receiver in Emmanuel Sanders. And it's going to take some pressure off of Michael Thomas. I'm not saying that he's not going to be probably the best wide receiver next year. I believe he still will be, but I just don't know if he'll be.
I don't know. Mike Thomas, though, man, that guy he can't lie. That guy was good. I mean, how many catches did he have last season? 149? That's ridiculous, man.
But like I said,
it is.
That's
yeah.
hard to repeat. And yet,
yeah, you're right.
Because he's not a quarterback. That's why I believe yeah. that
it's going to be hard for him to repeat that. You're right.
Yeah. But he's also going to get the help, obviously, from
Drew Brees.
Yeah, and if someone's throwing him an MVP, it's going to be Drew Brees.
He's good, you know. So their offense, you got him, then you got Kamara, then you got Emmanuel Sanders, you got Jared Cook. So, I mean, yeah, he had a great season, but you got to look at all the other factors there that he had a heck of a season, you know. So he had a hell of a team around him. So that helps him in getting those stats. But, again, you still got to put up the numbers, so.
And if we're talking about the Saints here, I have to bring up my guy, James Winston. And he led the league in passing yards last year. And the one thing that everyone knows is his problem, but I think it's fixable behind a guy like Drew Brees. And I think he's the future of the Saints after Drew Brees retires. The interceptions, yes, it's a problem.
You think so?
But it's a fixable problem. And his passes are just insane. If he's got wide receivers like that,
You know what? When you got guys like Michael Thomas and Kamara and everything around your team, it can help you. But you got to remember, in Tampa Bay, he had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. So, I mean.
Yeah. He did have good talent, but he never
had. Right. He kind of got thrown in there from when he was a rookie. That's a good point. I'll buy that. That's a good point. I like that. We'll see. I think you're right. I think the mentorship of a guy like Drew Brees is going to be invaluable. That's invaluable to anybody.
Yeah, well, who else would you want mentoring? I mean,
yeah, Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees, those three guys right there, you'd be good to go.
My favorite mentorship would probably be Tom Brady right up next to him at second.
Yeah,
Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers.
I agree with that.
Probably Phil.
Yeah, I like Phil. I like Phil. I think he'd be a good mentor. And Russ, yeah. Danger Russ, man. Like I said, I got respect. That guy's beaten the Niners so many times, I can't hate the man.
Yeah.
What I like about Drew Brees' mentorship of James Winston is they play kind of the same in a pocket. Mm-hmm. They're pocket passers.
Yeah, they got that. They got some mobility. You're right. They do have ability to kind of break loose if they need to, but they're traditionally pocket passer.
And that's what I think. I just think that. If you look at it, the best quarterbacks of all time. If you're gonna be the best quarterback of all time, the best quarterbacks are always the pocket passer. Look, think about it. Look at the top five quarterbacks of all time. You know, you've got Tom Brady up there for sure, pocket passer. You got Drew Brees, probably pocket passer. Peyton Manning,
Joe Montana, maybe Dan Marino, John Elway, Dan Marino. Yeah.
I mean, mostly all pocket passers. I mean, the only guys that you can say for
maybe Steve Young. He wasn't really a pocket pass. He was a scrambler.
Cunningham.
Yeah,
but Young, when he needed to, he can drop back in the pocket and deliver a dime, you know. But he was scrambling. He's scrambling, Steve. But at the end of the day, you're right. The majority of the elite quarterbacks, they have to be able to drop back and pass the ball, because what happens with these running quarterbacks? They're great. They have a good, you know, a couple few years. But once their legs start going away and they're not as fast and they can't escape the pressure as much, you know, teams are going to gun for them. They have to be able to develop that pass. And the majority of them, they don't have that ability to drop back and pass and read that. You know, it's just something that happens. Like what happened with
And that's why passers last so much longer. Because think about longest-lasting quarterback, Tom Brady.
He's probably the least mobile quarterback of them all, but he's lasted longer than anybody. And you're right, because when you start running out of the pocket, man, you get hurt. People take your legs. You get wear and tear. You start breaking down. They get injured. Robert Griffin III, you know, those guys, they got tons of injuries, and it derails their career. Donovan McNabb, you know, Dante Culpepper.
Oh, what's his name? Shoot.
Vince Young, even Steve Young, he lost his career because of concussions. He got Colin Kaepernick, prime example.
I mean, Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. You know, they have a couple breakout seasons, but then it just goes south from there.
That's one of my worries with Patrick Mahomes because yeah, he sticks back in the pocket.
But Patrick Mahomes
isn't afraid to scramble. And you know, last year he had to sit out for a few games because of his
patella. Yeah,
concussion.
No, he had a torn patella. But I'm not too worried about Patrick because he drops back. He's got good. I think he's smarter and he's still learning. I think he even said it like a couple weeks ago in a HBO series where he was talking about stuff and he goes, I still haven't learned how to read defense. I'm still getting better. I'm not too worried about Patrick Mahomes. I'm more worried about like a Lamar Jackson because he's a traditional running quarterback. And yeah, he is the definition of a running first quarterback. And man, if he gets those legs taken away from him, it's not looking good, bro.
Yeah, it's a good example of Josh Allen last year.
Yeah.
He got hurt.
Exactly.
And he turned to stay back.
All it takes one ACL.
Unless you're Jimmy Garoppolo, baby.
It could. Yeah. But Jimmy's also
He doesn't run a lot, but you're right. For a mobile quarterback, you blow out your knee, you're not going to be as mobile. So that's what I was saying. Once you start losing that ability to be mobile, if you can't drop back and make those passes, then you're not going to be as elite as you once were. Like let's say Lamar Jackson. I hope he doesn't get hurt. I don't wish any injuries. But let's say he tears his ACL this year. That would be horrible. Coming back next season, do you think he'd be able to run as much? I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's scary watching him play. Because you're.
I will say, yes, he was very mobile. And you can make the case that he didn't drop back and throw enough, but can you name
the only one I could tell you? Probably Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown. And then I don't know about anybody else. Yeah, he's the big speed guy. Who else they have?
No, once he had one good, consistent wide receiver, yeah. He had Marquise.
That was his main guy. I think they had that guy. Was it Willie Steed? But he's always injured.
And I think
so. I mean, really, he doesn't have a consistent wide receiver throw. I mean, like I said, Hollywood Brown's okay, but he's not a number one. He's a speed guy.
He's the take the top off the defense, but then you got exactly. to go down the middle.
De'Anthony Thomas and Miles Boykin. They're not big names in the NFL. They're not the flashy guys that are going to go up and make the grab when you need them to. That's the biggest issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have a star at the bottom. They don't have a true number one.
No, I agree.
Don't. Yeah.
And that's what killed the Bills last year. And now bringing in Stephon Diggs, they got the true number one, they got a true number two, and now they got a true number three. That's what the Baltimore Ravens need to do. Because, I mean, John Brown's not a number one. No matter what you tell me, he's a number two. Cole Beasley's a number three. John Brown's a number two. And Stephon Diggs can be a number two, but he's a true number one. And that's what they needed, and that's what they did, and that's why I love Bean so much. But I think that's what Baltimore needs to focus on.
Yeah. Did they draft a wide receiver in the draft this year?
Sure, they probably drafted, but I'm not positive. Pretty sure they don't. But, I mean, bottom line, they need to start bringing in some wide receiver talent.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that's where I think San Francisco is strong, because they got Debo. And they're going to have good competition at the wide receiver spot. And they really need some of the guys to just take that next step.
Yeah, for sure.
I think they have the potential to. Yeah, see, they've picked Patrick Queen, linebacker, J.K. Dobbins, which I think J.K. Dobbins was a big pickup for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't really take a wide receiver till a late round. He's a guy who is more role.
Thank you guys for coming out to the NFL Fanatics podcast. If you enjoyed, follow us on our Instagram at NFL_Fanatics2020 and go over and follow our man Raj Mawani at our San Fran 49ers on Instagram if you enjoyed. And thank you for coming out.
All righty.
Have a good day, everybody, and stay safe.